Sara, you lay out a number of similarities and differences between white nationalists and militant Islamists in your book. Could you briefly kind of lay out some key similarities and differences between the two groups?
That's an excellent place to start. The key similarities would be a mutual sense of victimhood, as well as mutual grievances due to the feeling of being persecuted by, quote unquote, the other.
Under the Trump administration, the political landscape has been largely in support of white nationalism and has kind of bolstered the white nationalism movement. And you also say that at the same time, under the Trump administration, the militant Islamist movement received some bolstering as well. Could you explain how that works?
That's a very nuanced point, and I think that might may be of interest to many people because of the Muslim ban, which was one of the first policies that Donald Trump enacted when he became president. That essentially reified and buttressed the sense of grievance that militant Islamists in particular have towards American foreign policy. With regard to the white nationalist grievance, when President Trump came into office, was essentially the word that you used, bolstered. And that's very much the case because President Trump didn't necessarily start or the white nationalist ideology that's been in the United States and in many countries around the world for decades, if not centuries. But he very much harnessed the sense of grievance. And specifically, that has to do with the perception that people of color are taking over, not only in terms of just sheer numbers, but also taking over job opportunities and threatening the very cultural identity of white people in the United States.
You conducted in-depth personal interviews with a number of key figures, both American white nationalists and American militant Islamists, and you employed some unconventional means of interviewing. You say, you quote, "Enter into my subjects' worldviews completely and fully to comprehend their rationales for violence according to their logic, not what I thought they were or may have been." Why use such a personal method of interviewing? And what was that like for you, especially as a Muslim American woman?
So I could write a whole other book just on those two issues. The introductory chapter, I think you're taking that quote from, it has empathy in the title. And the reason that I discuss the employment of empathy so specifically is because that's essentially what the world needs. And I'm not talking about empathy in terms of condoning or supporting the violence or the planned violence. I'm talking about empathy in terms of actually seeking to understand how another person rationalizes his or her use of violence and the planning and the carrying out of it. It was really interesting for me because there were a lot of expectations on the part of the interviewees that were made clear to me either in terms of communicating and setting up interviews, and also during the course of the conversations that I would have. So militant Islamists very much would think that I would sympathize or condone their behaviors and their worldviews, whereas I received a lot of pushback from many white nationalists of all ages because they were very reticent to talk to me and specifically cited my surname as a reason why many of them didn't want to talk to me.
You end your book by calling for holistic justice. Could you explain what that means?
Holistic justice is an approach to counterterrorism in order to ensure effective national security based on the recognition that white nationalism is more complex than simply skin color oppression or racism. So what holistic justice is calling for is a move from anti-racism to anti-oppression, to take into account that we need to see the survivors and the victims and survivors of white nationalists and militant Islamists as a whole, and also that there needs to be a lot more solidarity amongst different groups of people of color, And the onus also needs to be placed on white communities who would call themselves liberals and supporters of people of color, in order to amplify and address the hate that's targeted towards their fellow Americans.
That was Sarah Kamali, author of Homegrown Hate: Why White Nationalists and Militant Islamists Are Waging War Against the United States. I'm Isabel Charlet for KBOO News.